With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep-fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 651, A Jungle Cruise.
They put the word in front of it. So
Dead Man's Chest.
Yeah, yes. I got thoughts.
Yeah. Kevin asked me, I gave a one-word review. I just said, serviceable.
Like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not awful, but
nope. It
doesn't...
Doesn't break the mold.
No, it does not do what they. But anyway, let's let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. How about that?
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn, Spreaker, everywhere but Zune. You can find us.
And did you remove us from the Zune store?
I did. I just out in general principle.
Timmy Two Zunes is not going to be happy.
Yeah, he'll suck it.
Oh, dang. Wow. Long time listener, Timmy Tuzins. You heard it here.
So, where was I at? Oh, yeah. You can also, while you're there, follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave a review. That's always helpful and helps our ego. So, it helps on two levels.
It does.
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, you can become a League of Show Sharers member by sharing an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Pat Andy, Librarian Cynthia, Chris Valls, Julianne Jordan, Ralph Tribble, Travis Tewitt, Ron Johnson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Williams, Chris Magic Man, The Movie Journey Podcast, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Matt Naglia, Colby Mack, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Invasion of the Remake, Chris Williams, Kathia Woods, Feelin' Film, Chris Williams, Chris Wilson, Brad Hyen, and Brad Hyen, of course, the originator of the Brad Hyen
Correct.
Rule.
Yes.
So I found myself faced with a new situation this week that's kind of adjacent to the Brad Hyen
Rule. When the show
rule.
Someone's on shares
so,
it?
Yeah, so Ryan Terry, who was on last week's episode, shared it, but we will not say that in the League of Show Shares proper because he's on the show and
Correct.
You should share the show if you're on it. Right?
I agree. Yes.
Like, that's just kind of etiquette. But his sitcom podcast, Four's a Crowd, shared it. So, but I'm sure he probably controls that Twitter
probably.
Account too. So,
but you can't guarantee that.
But I can't guarantee it. So I'm going to allow it.
You don't think his team of social media experts?
Did you get paid for being on that episode?
Would I get paid?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, then I don't think he has a team of social media.
Oh,
call me crazy.
I see your point.
If he does, then you should complain. So we will allow that and include Four's a Crowd in the League of Show Sharers because, one, it seems like the right thing to do, and two, I think it'll irritate Brad Hyen.
I think it's fair.
So
I think it's totally fair.
It'll irritate him into starting his own podcast just to share the show and be mentioned.
Or at least create like an alt Twitter account that he could do that from.
His dog has one. You think he's going to have the dog share it?
Well, now that we put that little grain
Winston in. The dog.
So
would you read the name? If it was a dog that shared it, would you read it?
Only if we were doing a dog movie.
Okay.
I see. Yeah. Rock Dog 2.
So if
that's
we're doing
we're looking...
Marley and Me or something
True.
Yeah.
Clifford.
What about a movie with directors who have directed dog movies?
Well, that's too much. Yeah, to that's too much. You're really overestimating how much effort I put into this.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get bonus content and you help us out, and that's always helpful. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate that. And you guys will actually be recording a new Patreon episode immediately following this episode.
We will be.
So there should be a new one on the horizon.
We'll have a special guest and everything.
Ooh. So anyway, there's all of that. Let's dig into the movie proper, Jungle Cruise. It was
so
fine.
It was, yeah, I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a good time at the movies.
It was okay.
It was, yeah. It was okay. Like, so the entire time The Rock has been a leading man in Hollywood, he is literally the catchphrase that he always used is the most electrifying man in entertainment. So he has always been able to be the most charismatic thing or person on screen
until this movie. And that's
and
one of my
I
main
am
concerns.
Shocked. I am shocked that Emily Blunt took all of it away from him. Every scene she's in, she steals every
she's
scene.
She's great. She's great in this movie. She's fun. She's basically Indiana Jones.
I thought she was like Rachel Wise from The Mummy.
Okay, sure. But yeah. I mean, basically, that opening scene
Indiana Jones
is The Mummy.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, Indiana Jones. But I mean, The Mummy is Indiana Jones, too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, that opening scene with her fighting people and stealing stuff and looking at archaeological stuff, I mean, that's straight Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Well, and I felt like they were really trying to have their...
Cake and eat it too?
No, I'm totally blanking on the name of Johnny Depp in Pirates.
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow. Yes. I think they were totally trying to have their Jack Sparrow introduction, the way he comes in on that boat as it's sinking. And like, if that scene didn't exist, I don't know that people would love those movies the way that they do. Like that,
the first one.
What set the tone for the character without a bunch of exposition, without a bunch of backstory? You learn who Jack Sparrow is when he sails in and the boat sinks and he walks off
onto the deck.
He has so much charisma. And I even put in my written review that like when you look at an adventure movie and you have a character like Jack Sparrow and then you have a character Skipper Frank is never going to be Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Well, that is the most uncharismatic, dull character. I get maybe his backstory makes him a little bit jaded or makes him like, you know, grumpy or whatever, but that is not a likable character.
No.
And I think The Rock is completely miscast. And I get that they chose to play the character that way, but you don't hire the most charismatic person in movies to play a character that's like, I'm an old, stubborn, irritated person. Like, he's just not likable.
This is the other thing, is they captured lightning in a bottle with that first Pirates.
Yeah.
That should not have worked.
No.
There's no part of that movie that should have worked. And I think that movie is almost a perfect movie. Like that is.
Oh,
I
think so too.
I think that first one.
I think it's a perfect blockbuster.
Yes, it's
that is
fun.
The perfect...
It's action. It's got some. Got everything you would want.
It never. There's not a dull moment.
No.
You care about the characters. You like them. It's fun. It's funny. The action sequences are phenomenal.
Yep.
The score is great.
Yep.
I mean, that movie, like you said, I think it's the perfect summer blockbuster movie. I went back and watched it recently. It's still great.
It's still great.
Everything they do in that's perfect, and that is a movie based on an amusement park ride. And
was that their first one? Was that the first one that like got the big budget treatment?
No, because they had done Country Bears. They had done
Is Country Bears after Pirates though?
No,
I don't think
so. I think it's before.
Okay,
Haunted,
that's an old
mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted
the Eddie
mansion.
Murphy one. Yeah,
they did Tower of Terror.
Nope. That was straight to video though.
Okay.
Oh, was there really a Tower of Terror?
Yeah. Kirsten Dunst
and Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think that was, I'm pretty sure that was straight to video.
Is that on Disney Plus?
I don't think they have that one on there. But the thing is that Pirates, a movie based on an amusement park ride where you float down a river and see a bunch of drunken pirates go yo-ho, yo-ho.
Right.
How does that turn into a billion-dollar blockbuster? And it's lightning in a bottle, like you
said. It really was.
The casting, the script, everything about it. Gore Verbinski, like they all just worked and it was perfect.
Jungle Cruise, have been chasing that ever since.
Clearly, Jungle Cruise wants to be Pirates of the Caribbean. And again, in my review, I said this movie is nowhere near as fun or as good as the franchise they want to be. And, you know, I'm sorry. I like The Rock. I like Emily Blunt. Like, everything about this movie I was so excited for because I'm like, it's going to be the next Pirates. I thought they can do it. And I just think it's so dull at times, and the characters are so unlikable. I want to like the characters. Like, if I'm going to care about Frank, I want to like him.
Well, that's the advantage of Jack Sparrow, right? Is he's a scumbag.
He's a scumbag.
But you enjoy him.
Yeah.
Right? The Rock in this role is like...
Rock and roll?
I wish. You're right. He's completely unlikable. He's lying the entire time. Like, he's not a good person.
But you can even like a con man in movies, but it's not that he's the fact that he's lying, but you know, his gimmick is that he runs a jungle cruise, which the best part of the movie in my mind as a Disney fan, I like it when they go through a jungle cruise tour basically. Yeah. The corny jokes are there, the backside of water, there's hippos, and I love how he rigged up things to make a fake exciting jungle cruise for his people, and it's so crummy and everything. Like, I enjoyed that part of it, but when they go on the quote-unquote adventure and they start introducing ghosts and monsters like they're like Pirates of the Caribbean,
that's exactly, you know, like right pirates,
I thought just give me an adventure, a treasure hunt in the jungle with bad guys, whether they be Nazis or just bad regular bad guys trying to get the treasure. Give me an Indiana Jones, like, more. I mean, I know
here's the other thing. The Rock has done this movie. The Rundown is kind of the same movie as this.
Yeah.
Where he's in the jungle trying to, you know, with Sean William Scott. And he had, and granted, Sean William Scott at that time.
And Christopher Walken.
Just hamming it up. But Sean William Scott at that time was like the perfect foil for The Rock's like Stonewall character, right? So he could play off of Sean William Scott, who is, at that point, I'm trying to think if we're past the American Pie stuff. But he's still kind of...
We were.
Definitely past the American Pie.
Yeah, this was him trying to pivot.
Right, into like the rated R comedy
and
the
grown-up roles.
This was like 2002, I want to say.
Is that right?
I think.
American Wedding was like 2007.
Well, I'm not saying the fifth American Pie movie. I mean, American Pie was the
90s. Oh, there's like 20 of them.
Right.
The good ones.
But we're past... He's a name.
He's no
dude, longer, where's my car was out.
Stifler is no longer a thing at this point, but he's trying to keep his career going.
But he was doing Dude, Where's My Car and other comedies, and so it was like, whoa, and it works. Like
them together, like I liked
The Rundown's
together.
A good movie.
The Rundown's a great
movie. The Rundown is one of Rock's earliest movies, and it holds up. That was the movie where I noticed The Rock, and I was like, oh, he can do this acting thing, right? I mean, I know he did a Tooth Fairy. I'm not saying it's his first movie,
like
but
Scorpion King.
Yeah,
then he tried to lean into like that PG-13 action thing, and it just didn't work. And then he did The Game Plan and The Tooth Fairy and stuff like that. And then he came back with the Faster.
But The Rundown was the first time where you were just like, that guy can do this.
Can carry a movie.
He's not Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean,
what's so weird is that this character is smarmy and Rock can do smarmy. He started his career as the villain that you loved anyway.
Yes.
And so like, where's all that?
I don't
get it, but it really doesn't work with this character. I think it's because when you're making a movie like this and you're on an adventure, you want to have some fun and you want the character to be likable. And then it's try to force a romance with Emily Blunt and The Rock.
Yeah.
This unlikable character.
But
it's
like
just...
we see lots of characters who are smarmy, but likable.
I think
Star-Lord.
Michael Douglas from Romancing the Stone.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Which is another
great adventure movie.
So,
which totally holds up.
But it's The Rock is charisma. I've always said it. He is one of the most charismatic people on screen, and he drops it all for this movie. He's doing what Vin Diesel does in the Fast and Furious movies.
I can see
where
that.
It's more like, I'm not going to have fun. If I do something cool, it's going to be stone-faced, you know? And so you take away the charisma from The Rock, and you're just left with this empty shell, and I could not enjoy it as much as I like The Rock. I wanted to like the movie.
I think that there's a reason he's the biggest action star. Yeah.
I just thought it was a really weird choice when he could have been a charismatic, could have been a Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow like.
Who could you see in this role?
I think the character's wrong.
That's what I agree.
I think The Rock played it the way that they wrote it. I think The Rock in this role.
Okay.
The character is supposed to be so just dead. He's just not
literally.
Not pun intended. No, but I mean, he's so unlikable and he's not having fun with this adventure that he's on. He just seems tired, which again, I get with the backstory that we'll get into, but I don't like it for this type of movie because it's hard to have fun when you've got a guy that's just like, okay, the African Queen, which is clearly.
Yeah. I said like 5 minutes movie. In, this yeah. is Pirates of the Caribbean meets African
yeah.
Queen.
And so African Queen, Humphrey Bogart is likable. He's this like, he's this kind of, I guess, I don't know if you'd say smarmy, but he's like shipping stuff, goods in and out of Africa.
And he's just jaded and kind of above it all.
Yeah,
like
he's kind of a drunkard, you know, yeah. he's always drunk and everything, but he smiles and you like him. And when, you know, when it's him and Katharine Hepburn, you feel that romantic tension there.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie wants to be that. And even I think The Ride was inspired by African Queen. Like the
Is
Jungle
his
Cruise.
Costume close to his costume in that movie too?
Close. The hat's different. Like The Rock has more of a traditional captain, like boat captain's
sure,
hat
sure.
in this, and his was kind of a, but you know, the other thing that I noticed too is it's like what I appreciate about movies when you go back and watch old movies is like, man, in African Queen, which is the name of Humphrey Bogart's boat, mm-hmm. they get dirty. You know,
yeah.
like as,
sure,
as
sure,
the trip
sure.
goes on, just like John McClane and Die Hard, but you get dirty and the ship gets damaged, which this one does.
They
kind of
do that with
too.
Jack Whitehall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I got to tell you, the old
Jack Whitehall is Katharine Hepburn. See, that's what
oh,
they
for
did.
Sure.
So African Queen, this movie's a lot like African Queen, but you know, The Rock.
They split her
clearly,
into two roles.
Yes, The Rock is clearly Humphrey Bogart, but Emily Blunt is not Katharine Hepburn. Jack Whitehall is Katharine Hepburn, and
she's
Emily,
what Katharine Hepburn becomes.
Yeah,
right at the
or,
end, Katharine Hepburn is
true.
Capable on that boat.
Right.
True.
But at the beginning, she's very like this
posh,
is gross, and
I guess.
You should and I hired you, and you should wait on me. And so they kind of split her into two parts. Yeah.
This is the old wrestling gimmick where if you see somebody in a white suit, they're gonna get something on that suit. Like that is it is
totally,
it never
yeah.
fails. That's always white shirt, white something white.
Oh yeah. She's yeah.
Jack
yeah.
off's white suit.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. yeah, she's like wearing a white dress the whole time. It gets dirtier.
But
dirtier.
Yeah, he's wearing like a bright white suit.
Yeah.
Like almost all the time. It's like, well, we're just gonna yeah. you know.
So I really like Jack Whitehall in this movie. Mm-hmm.
I think
I feel
bad his other thing just got pulled.
What was it?
Clifford. He's the
Oh, I mean, just, it got just, delayed. It's not getting...
Well, no, I'm sorry. Yes, I shouldn't say pulled, but like...
I mean, it's hopefully
going
make
to
make more money.
Plus
and,
or whatever.
No, it was always going to do that, I think.
Oh, it was?
It's just getting delayed because they don't know how many people are going to theaters.
I guess we'll find out with this movie.
So, but I like Emily Blunt and I like Jack Whitehall. I think they're both really good, but that Skipper Frank character that The Rock plays just doesn't do it. And I think that did a really big disservice to the movie because if you had The Rock being charismatic and likable and going on this adventure, I think what they tried to do is give him the backseat to Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
But
I
it overcompensating,
right.
like if you're going to put The Rock in a movie and not do The Rock stuff,
I almost feel like they, so Robin Williams ran into this problem early in his career where they would give him scripts and coke. but they'd give him scripts that weren't that good and then be like, oh, but you'll fix it.
Sure.
You know, and I almost wonder if here it was like, you know, we got to make sure that Emily Blunt has a lot of cool moments so she doesn't get overshadowed by The Rock. And then they ended up overcorrecting.
Well, she did that in Live, Die, Repeat. I thought she overshadowed Tom Cruise. I thought
she
was
taller.
Well, it doesn't take much.
I know.
You know?
Even I'm taller.
But that
am
would,
I right?
But,
am I wrong?
But
though?
That's fine, though. I mean, my point is, I have no problem with Emily Blunt being the main character of this movie. I think she's great. I want to see an Indiana Jones movie where it's her. Like,
sure.
No problems with Emily Blunt. She's great in this
Not
movie.
Not old man Harrison Ford.
I'd much rather see it with Emily Blunt.
Who can't get through
I love
filming without
Ford,
busting,
but,
without breaking his shoulder
yeah,
or whatever.
But the problem is. In this movie, if you're trying to sell these characters and it's in a romance and all this, you can't have, I mean, why have The Rock? Why have him do this?
The other issue that you run into with when you're talking about that romance is I think it's really hard when you are part of like maybe America's Sweethearts, right? Like her and Krasinski are kind of like everybody is into them as a couple.
When Quiet Place 2 just came out.
Also true.
So
also a great point.
We just saw him again.
But like them together, like yeah. you like, so when you see her kind of being romantic with, at least that's the way I was like, I don't like it.
I thought about it, but I also am like, it's a movie.
I mean, totally right. Like, and you have to, especially with this one, where they kind of lean into the wackiness with Jesse Plemons and like the most insane character.
I love Jesse Plemons, but even he couldn't save this movie.
He's basically Inspector Clouseau.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Or yeah, because I was trying to think of a character who, like, from Pirates, who this guy is, and the only guy I could think of like was that captain that wanted Keira Knightley too.
Yeah, I don't think
that's a stretch.
I think someone online posted that Werner Herzog was in a movie and he sounds like he's doing a Werner Herzog impression.
I can see that.
There's a movie he does where he's in the jungle and I'm like, okay, I can see he basically watched this movie. I can't remember the name, I've never seen it, but I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I love Jesse Plemons. That dude is great in everything.
I would never have imagined watching Friday Night Lights that he would be the one with the best career 10 years, 15 years later.
That's true. Like, well, Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, that's fair. I always think original cast. You know what I mean? When I'm going through the members. But yes, Michael B. Jordan is
Superman.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't, but anyway, I think that this movie had a lot of potential, but it's just unfortunate that they misused The Rock. And I mean, I know The Rock's a producer, he's a big star. Like, he wouldn't take a role he didn't want to take. Like, he was on board and chose to do it like this, and I think it was wrong for the role.
Yeah. I do wonder how much gas is in that guy's tank. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like,
you think he's maybe really tired because he's trying to sell tequila and energy drinks. And...
Well, it's not even that. But then, I mean, he's doing, you know, we're going to have 3 movies with him this year, right? Is Black Adam this year?
I don't know if it's this year.
But like, so we're going to have
this guy directing it.
Oh, really?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy is the guy that directs all the Liam Neeson movies lately.
Oh,
Colette Sarah, Jean-Colette Sarah,
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, that'd be interesting. Oh, yeah. I think his name's like Jean-Colette Sarah. But anyway,
he's
done like the last 4 Liam Neeson movies. Like, he's been his guy to team up on these things. And so he did this, and then obviously liked him enough on this because then he had him, got him on board for Black Adam.
Okay.
So
I guess maybe,
the action too. Like, you look at the Pirates movies and the great action. And then, have you heard any great things about Liam Neeson action movies lately? Right. And that makes me kind of worried for Black Adam, but I think that's where...
I feel like Liam Neeson made one great action movie.
He did.
And then it's been... People love that so much, they keep going to the lesser ones.
What was that, Rob Roy?
Yeah.
Oh, Taken. No, that's Taken. Rob Roy. Dark Man. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Dark Man.
Yeah.
Do love Dark Man.
I know.
Sam Raimi, right?
Yeah.
But you know, people keep hoping that, well, this will be the one that'll be like Taken, and none of them are.
No,
like, they got lucky. No.
Again, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah,
and you can't recapture that.
I know. I love how everything that's come out that's tried to be Taken, it's like there's never been another Taken.
No, yeah. There's not even
how many old man action movies have spawned from Taken.
Not even Taken.
Sean
2.
Penn tried to do it. Like, everybody tried. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
they all tried to get their piece. Of
Mel Gibson came back with Get the Gringo, which was. I enjoyed that, but it's also just like,
who's talking about that, Joe?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
No, totally.
None of them have been taken. Like, that has, I think they've worn out their welcome with that type of, like, again, lightning in a bottle.
We say that, and then Stallone's like, I made a new ring for the 12th Expendables movie. We're doing that again.
But that's different too. Old man action movies, I don't think of necessarily as Expendables.
I'm talking about
old retired CAA agent has to go rescue his neighbor's kitten because they've been abducted by the, you know, how preposterous things get.
Right. And it's like when they kill a puppy.
Yeah. But they're like old man, get out of here. You can't do anything. And let me show you.
The only one that even comes close to me is The Equalizer. I did enjoy both of those.
A reboot of a show, so I don't kind of put it in the same credit as like, just there's just this formula of old man retired man action movie of like, oh, he's still got it,
we're gonna get him.
And I don't count John Wick because I mean
he's just retired early.
See, kids, if you get your saving and retirement plans in order, you can retire early. Hopefully you won't be called back.
And then you can come back out of retirement when somebody kills your dog.
And also invest in gold, because clearly.
Apparently, yeah. I guess just to give a quick rundown of this is Emily Blunt is very much the Rachel Wise character from The Mummy, where they are trying to chase after this sacred flower that will end all sickness.
The Tears of the Moon.
Tears of the Moon. And we're right in the middle of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the first 20 minutes thinking they meant like the moon had levels.
Okay.
It was
like different tiers.
Right.
But I'm with you.
Dom was going to come up and pick them up and drive them to the moon. And then, wait a minute, what is this car you're in? What is this? And he's like, I'm back from the future. It's going to be not only space travel.
We got to do something about your kids.
Yeah. Not only space travel, but now he's time traveling. you know that's next, right? Like,
for what?
Fast and Furious. They've gone to space. The only thing left is time travel.
They have to fight Jason Voorhees. Like, that's what's next.
No, that's like 15. Yeah. But let's get
we've run out
on.
Of ideas.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah, let's travel. Not be ridiculous. Sure.
It's in the same universal. It's in the same.
It's true. That's true.
Back
that's
to
true.
The future.
So I actually just listened to a podcast and they said that the reason that Universal has like Jaws and E.T. and Back to the Future. And the reason they haven't really like touched those is because there's enough like reverence for Spielberg at this point where like
Spielberg will be like, I'll never work for you again.
Correct. And and it was actually Gourley and Rust. And they were like, I'm terrified of when he goes. Like when Spielberg leaves.
What happens to all his movies?
They're going to get like just run the table.
Jaws, the franchise, the Jaws cinematic universe. E.T. is going to be in there.
Yes, exactly. It's all going to come back. All that stuff was like, oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
I remember when Charles Schulz died, creator of Peanuts.
Sure.
And like there was lots of news stories about how he had in his will that nobody could make new Peanuts stuff.
Bill Watterson too, right?
Well, he's still alive.
Well, yeah.
So he could, but he
doesn't license any of his stuff.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want new comic strips. I don't want new shows, movies, none of it.
And the company just said, want.
And it's like,
I don't know what he said, but let's make some.
And I don't know how they like
contract.
So initially they got around it by they started making new like direct to video stuff.
Sure.
But they were adapting comic strips. And so they were like, well, we're not really creating anything new. It's all adapted.
Man, Hollywood lawyers are so
from storylines. And so because they did Happiness is a Warm Blanket, which was really cute. But it's somewhere along the line, they wrestled that away and started making it. And honestly,
that Peanuts movie is good.
The things that they put out have been good.
Well, Peanuts movie is legit. Like that has this humor. It feels like an old Charlie Brown cartoon.
It just doesn't look like one.
It's
with
CG,
the animation
but,
style.
Oh, the Peanuts one.
But the story's cute. The characters feel like the old, like they did a really good job because that's what we were worried about. What are they going to do?
Do you have a lot of reverence for Charlie Brown?
Oh, I mean, I grew up with it.
Interesting. Yeah. I have none.
I mean,
I mean, when I was a kid, like that was what you got, man. Like,
I guess that's
you
fair.
Know, like you didn't have a lot to choose. But I was really into
those
Peanuts
holiday
when I was
specials.
A kid.
The Great Pumpkin, the one with
the Christmas
tree.
The Christmas one was definitely a staple. For
I mean, they still show.
And the Easter Beagle,
when Apple took it and was like, it's only going to be on Apple TV last year. People lost their.
They said that.
Yeah.
For a while. So. PBS, PBS, right? Or
I think it was PBS ended up airing it.
But yeah, so they used to be on network television.
It was on
ABC.
So it was originally made by CBS, and then it moved to ABC for years.
And then they said, Apple said, we're going to buy it. And so, of course, you have to get Apple TV Plus because, you know, that's how it works. You buy up a thing, you put it on your exclusive service. And people flipped out, and DVDs were going for $50 and Blu-rays of all the Christmas specials were going for $150 and all this stuff. And then PBS is like, we're going to partner up and public television, and they're going to let us air them.
And they aired it. They aired it like that in the Thanksgiving one, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but like one time.
But it shows you people did flip.
People flipped out.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, I bought it on Vudu for $5 before all this started.
There it is.
Bought the holiday pack for $15, so I got like that and the Thanksgiving and the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown and Happy Arbor Day Charlie Brown and
that's why I'm
Happy Kwanzaa Franklin.
That's why you got to buy stuff. And I mean, I still have physical media, but of course I've said it before, like I've moved more and more to digital, but I don't care what you say. No one's ever taken my digital stuff away. The fact is I own the digital stuff.
That's going to be the new, like right wing platform.
take my movies.
digital media.
But it's like I own the office.
Grab my Betamax out of my cold dead hands.
I own the office. I own Parks and Rec. I own the league. Yeah. I own these shows that are like,
you own the league.
I love the league.
Yeah, you do.
The League is
fantastic.
I think The League is one of the funniest shows of all time.
I would rank it up there with Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and
it's so good.
And from a non-sports person,
yeah.
You do not have to like sports. It's about fantasy football. It doesn't matter.
It's a shame that guy is such a douchebag and lied about 9/11. Steve Ranzani?
Like the showrunner?
No, the guy, like the main guy. So there's Nick Kroll.
Well, Mark Duplass is the main guy in my mind.
It's Mark Duplass's best friend.
Kevin?
Yes.
Really?
He's a stand-up comedian who lied about 9/11. Like lied about being either like in New York when 9/11 happened. It like almost tanked his career.
I've never heard of this.
Yes. No. We'll bring up a picture of that guy and make sure I'm
okay,
right.
But
I agree.
It's one guy show and he did some whatever. I'm not excusing
the show,
that,
it's
but
a, it's not like
the
he,
show has nothing to do with that. And if you still watch Rosemary's Baby and Chinatown
yeah,
and all
right,
this
right,
stuff,
right, right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Like separate the art from
oh,
the artist.
I don't care that he, I'm just saying like I think that derailed his career for a while.
Totally. I'm just saying like that doesn't like I didn't even know that.
on the scale of Roman Polanski and this guy, I'll keep watching this guy's
stuff.
But
I mean, how many people watch Mark Wahlberg's stuff? Mark Wahlberg's putting out 3 movies a year.
Totally.
How many hate crimes and terrible things has he committed?
Has he?
Mark Wahlberg? Tom, you want to tell Joe about Mark Wahlberg? Because I don't think he knows.
Oh, yeah. He's been, he's been like convicted
arrested
in criminal court for hate crimes.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, and he was like 18, 19 years old, but yeah, and he like beat
old
up
enough
an,
to know better.
Beat up an Asian dude. And then
is that right?
And then like
I
did
didn't
he
know
get
that.
A fight with some black guys and mm-hmm. was yelling stuff and yeah, like, I mean,
apparently
was,
they chased him on bike. He chased him and his friends chased black kids on bicycles that were walking down the neighborhood throwing stuff at them, calling them bad words. He punched an Asian guy out of nowhere, and then he punched another Asian guy that came to try to help, like and calling them derogatory. Like what else did he did something else, but I mean obviously it was a long time
ago. I honestly
ago,
had no idea.
I think he's really cleaned up his act since then, but,
or he got a much better publicist.
Right.
But that stuff happened, and I think and it's starting to come back around because you know this is the era that we're in.
Sure,
and people are like, how does like I mean I get that it was a while back, but like. This guy has gotten opportunity after opportunity.
I mean, he's a massive movie star.
And he's never really, like, apologized for it. Like, sincerely. Like, he's never really...
Huh.
Anyway, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, you see things like that happen, and there's so much that... I think Tom said it before when we've talked about this. If you... didn't want to watch anything that had anybody
sure,
ever
sure,
done
sure.
anything that you don't
yeah.
give
you're
you
gonna, luck. You're going to good luck watching a nature film from Disney.
Which doesn't excuse any of that because, again, I didn't know. But it's like I hear that and I'm like, okay, that's really stupid.
No. And what I meant by that is like I think that that when that got revealed, like that tanked his career for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm not – and it on the scale of like, you know, stuff, that's not that big a deal.
So, yeah. I mean,
So they – Jack Whitehall plays her brother, and they realize they go to this like I don't know like
an auction.
Is it an auction?
It's a society that is having I think an auction.
Oh, I thought he was like trying to plead their case to study something that they had in their possession.
Well, he bought it. Yeah, maybe, but he bought it anyway. He bought
either
this,
way. So
this crate from Albert Falls, which is an Easter egg from the Jungle Cruise ride.
Yes,
Albert Falls is this famous explorer that he's all over the ride and studied things and
so while he's giving this speech Emily Blunt knows that it's gonna tank, so she takes it upon herself to go steal this little arrowhead.
Jack Whitehall, I'm sorry, Jesse Plemons bought
Jesse Plemons bought this thing
and Jack Whitehall's trying to say we need this
to study it. So this is very much the Mummy, the first Mummy movie. And
in my head, I just heard
Caribbean.
Dun, 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 dun.
Very much like if they could have reused the score from Pirates, they would have.
And I just, again, Emily Blunt's good, but the action's not that great in this scene. It's more that choppy action stuff that you see in the Liam Neeson movies. Like, it's just not as good of action as you would expect in a big Disney $200 million
movie. I also
movie.
Think, and not to compare this, but I think Keira Knightley is more adept to that kind of stuff. I don't, maybe she, oh, I mean,
maybe.
she was a badass in those movies, right? Like she was, but they didn't do all of those quick cuts with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Gore Verbinski, who I think is he's had his down moments. I think he's kind of down right now, but I mean, up until the second Pirates, did he come back and do the second one?
He did the fourth. I think he came back for the fourth, I think.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't do the third. There's been five, right?
Is that right?
That's the crazy thing.
Is there four?
He did three, I think. One, two, and three, and then I think he left for four. I'll look it up. But
let's do that. I think there's only four.
No, I think there's five.
Okay. Because I know they bring back what's-his-name to play Blackbeard.
I think there's five. And
isn't
I think
Ian
it's,
McShane in those? Am I making that up?
You're making that up.
I don't think
it's,
I am.
It's Jeffrey Rush.
No, Ian McShane is Blackbeard in one of those movies.
All right, but Jeffrey Rush is the main Barbossa.
Barbossa, yeah. Either way, she steals the heart, and then Plemons kind of like...
To be clear, the reason that I don't know is because I don't care. Because to me, there's three Pirates movies.
There's one.
Well, I think there's three Pirates movies. The first three. I know that the second and third don't meet the first one, but the first three are still very fun movies. Like, none of the first three Pirates movies are bad. When they turn it to go, this is Johnny Depp's franchise,
yeah,
you realize that I don't need 2 hours of Captain Jack. Captain Jack's a great side character, a great, foil, a great extra part of the movie. But when they tried to follow him and do that thing,
it
was rough.
So she steals the heart, and she gets away, and they realize that they have to go on basically a jungle cruise to get to this one spot and find these flowers.
He did do the first three Pirates.
Okay. Wow. And what has he done after that?
And then
counted his money.
Yeah, no joke. No joke.
Rango, which was really good.
Oh,
yeah,
Rango
didn't
was,
do anything.
It didn't fun. Do anything, but yeah. It was a good that.
Yeah.
But
I was bored by it.
That animation,
people love it,
that
but
animation
ILM,
looked amazing. Yeah.
It was an ILM movie. Like, you think of Pixar and Disney. ILM did an animated movie, and it was great. But then he did The Lone Ranger.
Yay! They should have worked.
And then he did A Cure for Wellness, which
I know
some people really like.
That's not good. That's the Dale DeHaan one.
Yeah, I mean, some people like it. I know it didn't do great, but Dane DeHaan, I think.
Sure, that
guy,
too.
Dale DeHaan.
That's his brother.
Right. And then he's got one in pre-production called Spaceless. A man wakes up inside a spacesuit, tumbling helplessly through space with a computer designed to keep him company until his air runs out.
So her in space?
Yeah.
Or moon in space.
Or moon in space.
Well, moon was in space.
Or 2001 A Space Odyssey in space.
Oh, wait.
Trying to solve the mystery of his death. What?
Who knows?
I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
As long as he's not, by the way, I don't think we're getting another Lone Ranger movie.
No.
Especially not with Armie Hammer.
Hold on. Army Hammer and Johnny Depp.
Two dudes who have been canceled.
I mean, I know Johnny Depp's still fighting all
of
it.
And I think we will get a Lone Ranger movie at some point.
Maybe.
It's a franchise they've never been able to make it work.
Which is crazy.
Like, it's basically like... that the TV show people loved a million years ago, and the radio show, of course, but like nobody's ever been able to make it work in a movie, which makes no sense. It's just a Western.
With a guy in a mask.
This shouldn't be too terribly difficult to achieve.
That's a really good comic. The Pirates version of the Lone Ranger should have worked.
Yeah.
On paper, that should have worked. Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean 4 in 2011 on Stranger Tides. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 in 2017, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Wait a minute. That means we covered that movie.
Yeah. Because I remember Johnny Depp gets locked in a bank vault, an airtight bank vault.
Oh, yeah.
And then he comes out and he's like, hey, there's air in there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know what I mean? It was stupid.
It looked cheap.
Yeah. Yes.
That fifth one looked really cheap.
Real bad.
And I remember the fourth one was really bad because they filmed it all at night. Remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
The fourth one's the one they did where it was all on water at night. So it was just like, it looked like a soundstage with a boat on it.
Yeah.
And you couldn't see anything. And then the fifth one, they went onto an island. There was a lot more island shenanigans and it was brighter. But yeah, it just.
Who doesn't love island shenanigans?
But it looked like it was on a soundstage.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Those movies were terrible, and that's why you don't remember.
Four and five are bad.
But they're rebooting it with Margot Robbie as the pirate.
Hopefully
it's good. Yeah.
Good for her.
And the internet is excited for it.
Sure, they are. Yeah.
Getting rid of Johnny Depp and then hiring
Margot Robbie. Yeah. All right. So they go to this like town, this small little town, this village. This is where we get we see The Rock for the first time.
So they're in Brazil.
In Brazil, doing the jungle cruise, making the bad jokes. And
best part of the movie. It's fun.
For real.
Yeah, this part right here
he doesn't even do it with charisma, which is the fun part. Like, I think that he could have made it more fun, but he at least is it just goes with the presentation he's putting on, right? Because, you know, when he says the backside of water thing, I think that's the most excited he gets in the movie. He actually says, the backside of water. Like, he actually plays it, and I'm like, oh, there's The Rock.
Yeah, and then he's like, never mind, that's all I got.
But the rest of the movie, he's just like, oh, I hate my job. He shows up like...
He's middle management Rock.
Yeah.
He's just like, ugh.
Or, I mean, this is like, I'm not saying it's as bad, because it really isn't, but it reminds me of, like, Bruce Willis showing up for a movie. You know, like, he's there, he's getting paid.
I thought the same thing.
And it's so unfortunate, and I'm sorry, I know I've said it again and again, but it's like, I love The Rock as an actor.
I do think it's a choice he made, not him being bored or trying. Yeah, I mean,
totally.
I think, but it was not the right
one. It just didn't work, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we get to see all his shenanigans, and, he ends up getting his boat repoed by Paul Giamatti, which I was like, hey, man, good
Why
to see you.
Why is Paul Giamatti in this
I don't know,
movie?
But like, I was like, okay, you're doing a wacky character for 5 minutes at a time?
Maybe.
That's fine.
I was like, sorry, Paul Giamatti is Steve Bannon.
Yeah. I just, what a gnarly what team. A waste, though. Like, okay, here's the deal. So in this movie, if I were making the movie, again, I would make it a hunt for the treasure. They're all trying to find this thing. He screws over Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti's after him and after the treasure.
Yeah.
The German guy's trying to get to the treasure.
Blues Brothers.
Yes. They all end up trying to chase down the same treasure, and it's a race against time and against each other. That would have been a fun movie, like Mad Max style, whatever. Just all of them trying to chase down a treasure. Didn't have to be about ghosts. Didn't have to be about any kind of special whatever. I mean, it could be a...
I don't even mind the ghost. The ghosts don't bother me, because it's like... But the problem is, it's just like Pirates.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. The problem is, it's like Pirates, and then it turns the whole movie into a CGI blahfest.
Yeah.
Once you get all these monster guys, the whole movie looks so cheap and fake. The movie already looks like it's filmed on a green screen, right? Like,
I mean, most of it probably
was. Like an African Queen, they film in Africa.
Right.
They're on.
Well, they didn't have a choice.
Well, I know things. Well, I mean, but
I guess they could have used crappy sound stages.
And in the action scenes, they filmed them against a video wall and a sound stage. Yeah. Like, you know, because Humphrey Bogart can't be going over a waterfall.
Right.
But it was of the time. It looked, for the time, it was fine. But my point is, like, most of it that they could do practical, they did practical. This whole movie is green screen, basically, and then half the movie's CG with wild creatures, and it looks so fake and so cheap. The stakes are so low because you never feel the risk. You never feel like they're in danger because it all feels so fake.
Sure. I totally agree.
And, you know, The Rock and Emily Blunt swinging on vines.
That was pretty bad.
CG looks bad, and you never think for a second they're going to fall. You know, I mean, when they do
that,
it's comedic.
When they make a joke, like the Batman joke.
Yeah.
She's like, how much do you weigh? About 108. And then, you know, does whatever. And he's like, you'll weigh a little bit more than 108. She's like, oh, really? But that, like, they make the same joke here. He's like, you weigh a little bit more than you said. I was like, that's a weird. All right. I don't know. We're going back to the Batman 1989 joke, but all right.
And that's a pretty iconic joke. Some jokes you can recycle and people won't. But that was very.
Because there's in the trailer, I think.
Yeah. And there's like no humor in that movie. So when there is a joke,
it
really stands out.
That's very true.
I love Michael Keaton's dry delivery on the humorous moments.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Because that dude's funny. That dude's naturally funny.
He started as a stand up.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't remember that. But if you watch old episodes of, like, the Mike Douglas show, or he was on that show Make Me Laugh. I don't know if you guys even heard of that show. It was a game show called Make Me Laugh, and they would have the contestants would have to not laugh, and then they'd have like a team of comics that would come out and like do things to try to make them laugh. And then the longer you went without laughing, the more money you would earn. Man, it was a really low budget game show.
Game shows were just doing all kinds of great stuff.
I love old game shows.
Oh, game shows are great.
But lots of big names were people who go on to be big names were on Make Me Laugh.
Yeah. All right, let's look that up. But again, fell down a rabbit hole of the two guys from the Carol Burnett show.
Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Watched it for like 45 minutes the other day. Just them making each other laugh.
That,
if
you're
going to
look
so
at
good.
Watch one thing, just the dentist.
Oh, it is like a master class of comedy.
It is.
I got to see
Tim Conway and Harvey Korman live before they both died. I think Harvey Korman died like maybe a year later.
That's crazy.
But it was nice. It was the last time I think I was the youngest person in the room at a show. But they were great.
Oh, they're so good together. I like them as the undercover, like, cops where they're on a date, like in the park.
I don't remember that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So real quick, this movie is pretty easy. turns out that the conquistadors, these bad guys, try to steal this flower from the tribe inside the jungle. The tribe said, that's not cool, and cursed them all to never
well,
be
able...
Well,
tribe took them in as their own and took care of them, and this guy was trying to find... It's basically it's like the Fountain of Youth is yeah, what this yeah. thing essentially is, but he's trying to heal his sick daughter, and he's like, well, I'm running out of time, and so I'm going to just...
I'm going to steal it. Yeah. I'm going to take it.
So I like how they handled the tribe stuff, because it like I thought they did a good job about how that could have been kind of... offensive
kind of offensive
about the Trader Sam stuff.
Yeah,
you mean like the stuff that they had to take out of a ride?
Yeah,
yeah.
And that I like how they work around that.
Yeah, yeah. We should also I did want to touch on this briefly, is we've talked about Disney getting their toes wet with inclusion, and there's a scene with Jack Whitehall and The Rock where they have a really good scene together, and Jack Whitehall basically comes out as gay without actually saying he's gay, but it's an interesting scene because we've talked about it in Luca where you can infer it. We've talked about it in Frozen where you can infer it. And this one, I mean, they're putting it on Front Street. So we are just getting closer and closer to it just being.
Yeah, he's
still
never
not
actually,
saying it.
They're not
he
saying
says the
it.
Words gay, yeah. but he basically defines it.
Yes.
But it's going to go over some younger people's heads.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Instead of just saying it, like, I can tell that they're still tiptoeing it around, so it's like adults are going to get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there may
well,
be
it's,
some...
It's interesting you should say that, because Bella and I went to go see this yesterday, and she was like, what is he talking about?
Right.
I was like, he's gay. And she was like, oh.
Yeah, the kids aren't going to get it. And I think that's the problem, too, is there's going to be some younger people, and they don't even have to be as young as her, but even like 10, 11...
She is
they're
10.
Not, well, right, right. But I'm saying like 10, 11, 12, like younger, but still to understand the way they're wording it, where it's
right.
like... They may need to see that inclusion, and they're still not going to all get it from that.
I just,
so it's
yeah,
close,
I just think we're inching towards that moment.
I thought it was a nice moment.
I think it also makes sense for the time period.
Totally.
Not that we're super worried about anachronisms in this film, but that, I mean, that probably is how someone would have said something like that in 1916.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It was a nice moment. I thought that was one of the best written parts of the movie, to where it was like, ow, some heart. And you actually care about that Jack Whitehall character.
Yeah.
And he's a character that's unlikable because of how prissy he is and, you know, wants to wear all the nice clothes and bring all the trunks of stuff with him on the trip and everything, which is a trope you see a lot on these movies, you know, packing all the luggage. And
but he plays it well because he's entitled, but he's not a...
No, he's not like, you're my servant, blah, blah,
right.
blah, like that. But I just mean, though, he's still the type of person where you're like, oh, come on, this dude.
Yeah.
You know,
but
like,
then he almost does have that Katharine Hepburn turn on his own, where he becomes extremely capable as things get ramped up, right? Like, he's fighting, and he's not, like, getting punched. He is dodging punches and knocking guys out and doing, you know what I mean? So, like, they give him that turn as well, which I also appreciate that they don't lean into the effeminate. Where he can't fight, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Like which is kind of where they could have gone with it.
They could have easily, as they were dividing these two characters, made him the damsel in distress.
Yes, and they don't.
Yeah, no, he's not in distress, but he also is pretty incapable. Like he's not someone to go on an adventure. He's basically there because he said that his sister saved his life, and he would do anything for her, and this is important to her. But, like, he's not made for this type of adventure.
Totally,
so,
but he's also not completely incompetent or a simpering coward.
He can fight. Like, he's fighting
capably
at the end of that movie.
But it's good. It's not offensive or anything.
No.
And he doesn't, and like you said, it's not an effeminate portrayal, because I don't believe Jack Whitehall is gay, and so I know there was a little bit of controversy around him playing a gay character.
Oh, interesting.
But he's not, like, playing it in an offensive way.
Right.
That dialogue
he's
is really...
He's playing it as a very posh...
Yeah.
Britishman,
but he's not limp-wristed about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So
exactly.
So I think that makes it better that, if you're not going to have a gay guy do it, like, don't have them put on a whole thing like Corden always does. James Corden, if he plays a gay character or something, you know what I mean?
Man, that
he's
guy
not
is like,
he's not Z-snapping and
like in the Prom or whatever, you know, like, and James Corden plays a very...
That dude has...
I know,
man.
We don't have enough time.
We don't.
So, but the main thing is that Emily Blunt thinks she's hiring Paul Giamatti. She's really hiring The Rock, and The Rock knows how to navigate the river. The Rock somehow, we find out, why, but The Rock has the same maps as her dad did, and her dad was trying to track down this cure, and she basically wants to use it for good and save the world. So she ends up enlisting The Rock, and you know, fast forward an hour and a half, the next whole middle of the movie is just them navigating the river, running into silly stuff, you know, oh, the boat's not working, fix the boat,
kick the boat, don't kick my boat, don't call me Skippy,
exactly, you know, easy pants. The whole thing is and that's another thing I didn't like about the movie. Not only is The Rock really not likable, but he does the whole Hobbs and Shaw thing.
Yeah,
him and Emily Blunt the whole time is pants, Skippy, pants. I can do this better than you. You can do this better than me. You can. I just don't like, make your characters just chill, work together.
I don't have a problem with like the oil and vinegar characters, right? Yeah. Like, I don't have a problem with that, but you don't need to one up each other. Like you should be able, like The Rock should be able to get her with a quip and she'd just be like, damn, that was a good one.
Exactly.
You know? Or vice versa.
The whole going back and forth thing, I'm just so sick of it.
The battle of wits.
That's the new, but it's not wits.
No,
it's
that's what they're trying to, like, who can talk faster than the other one?
Yeah, because it's not wits they're battling Hobbs and Shaw, you know? But I did not like how they made them bicker back and forth the whole movie like that. A couple of quips would be good, and I like the one-liners, but don't keep going with it.
I think of Romancing the Stone and the Mummy. But yeah.
So they just, you know, they basically, I don't even remember, but you know, it's like, oh, I've got to, you know, the boat's not working and fix the boat, and we're going to go over a waterfall. Somehow he steers.
Rock the boat, don't tip the boat over.
He steers out of a waterfall?
He's
like
the Rock.
Like that crappy boat is going to be able to steer out of a waterfall?
Yeah.
He's about to go over the edge.
They should have told us, like, there should have been a part where, like, the boat is magic, if that's going to be.
I know.
Right, yeah,
like,
right. Right,
and again,
right.
Yeah, I'm not trying to totally, like, I guess suspending your disbelief, but
if like,
he's got a crappy rundown
boat. I mean, there's no way that.
No, that,
I don't
they're
think
going
any,
they're
I don't
going
think
over the
there's
edge.
Any way
any boat
would steer out of that.
They were about to go over the edge, and he kicks the thing, and it starts up, and you think the little propeller could just get them out of a water? Yeah.
I was still trying to figure out how he was fluent in English with an American accent.
What do you mean?
Well, why is this guy?
Oh.
When you find out his backstory.
He's Spanish.
Yeah,
but he has no. Because The Rock
and he's lived in this place where he would have never really had a reason to speak English.
Portuguese.
I loved it when they do
Brazil would be Portuguese.
When they do a flashback, they put his like Ponce de Leon hair on and a goatee.
I was like, did they just use footage from Hercules?
Yeah,
is that what we did?
It
here?
Was so funny to flashback and have him look just like it was funny.
It is. It is always weird to see him with hair, because I will say when I saw that and I was like, oh, he looks just like Roman Reigns.
Oh,
like, because they're cousins, and I was like, oh, that makes sense.
I don't know if they're real cousins.
No, they're tribal cousins. They're real cousins.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, they're grandfathers.
I will tell you they're related, but if they're in that tribe,
the Rock, Roman Reigns, Yokozuna, Rikishi, the Usos, Nia Jax, they're all related.
Okay.
They're all in the same
by blood. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have someone fact check you on that.
Please do.
So they get into these little mishaps. Meanwhile, Jesse Plemons is coming after them. He basically is working for the
gods, I guess.
He's a German. I mean, he's trying to, I think, win the war for Germany, basically. So he's trying to use this to, you know, give the Kaiser everlasting life so he can rule forever or whatever. I don't know. But he's a prince. Prince Hakim.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yes. Why did you say my name?
Yeah. He's trying to chase them down and get this thing back. And so he's chasing after him the whole time. He's firing machine guns out of a submarine. Like, I did think it was funny when he popped up in a submarine. I did not expect that.
That, to me, that is like pirate. Like, that is the pirate's level of absurdity, of insanity, where it's just like, what?
All right. Somehow he still can't like hit anything.
No,
like he's got a machine gun.
He's a
gun.
Stormtrooper, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, got terrible aim.
So, you know, they're chasing him and all this. So the thing is they get kidnapped by this tribe, and then come to find out The Rock had arranged it because he was going to try to steal the arrowhead that she stole from Jesse Plemons, which is like the guide to get them to the Tears of the Moon. And he had already arranged it to where these people that we've seen him work with before on the Jungle Cruise part of it, where they act like they're a tribe that's gonna like headhunters,
sure,
but they're really civilized, like, and you know,
yes,
for is you know,
either way.
So anyway, they capture him and they find out that, you know, Emily Blunt's mad at him because it was a
Setup. And he lied. He's lied. Yeah. I mean, every turn, he's told a lie every second of the day. This is where we get the reveal that he gets stabbed, and Bella goes, "They're not gonna kill the Rock, are they?" I was like,
No,
there's no way.
And like stabbed through the heart.
And here's what I was like, well, they might kill the Rock, but then she's gonna use a pedal to bring him back. Like, dude, that's what I thought was gonna happen.
Dude, when he hits the Rock on the way down,
that was
brutal. Yeah, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, he got stabbed and then he fell, whatever, he's gonna land in the
and
water.
And then when he hit that
and
rock,
they make him hit a rock on the way down. And I don't mean like just a little like, dude, like I mean, boom.
Yeah, he smashed
well,
his
you
face
couldn't
first.
Kill him with by stabbing him anyway.
Go, just break.
Well, because Rock beat scissors.
That's right. Every time. And he hit rock bottom on that one.
Which is, I mean, for this episode, what can you expect? I had more plans.
I did think, I thought of Midsommar when like those two old people jump off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh dang.
Yeah. So we come to find out that the whole thing is that, 400 years ago, he was part of the guy's expedition to get the Tears of the Moon. They were all cursed by the tribe, the tribal chief, like Joe said, and they were all like consumed
by
the jungle.
You can't go a certain amount of, they're basically on house arrest to the river.
Yeah.
Like they can't go. And what the
they
Rock did,
leave the side of the river. Then they
get
turn
sucked
into,
back.
And he trapped them into a hole.
Yes.
And the jungle like
they
grabbed
them
and
there.
Turned them to stone.
Yeah.
I guess because they technically left or something. I don't know how he did it. But
well, they couldn't, like they were in this hole and they couldn't get them back to the river.
So they just stoned.
They stuck them.
So he's been living for 400 years doing the jungle captain thing. He's seen people.
Learning English.
Yeah. Civilizations he's built.
Losing his accent.
He's loved. They've died, whatever. You know, he's lost people. They show the whole thing. Basically, the Rock created the town from not like from the jungle.
He built that boat and he built
the city on rock
and roll.
So you explain all that. He can't die. Whatever.
Right. So they get their way in. They figure it out. The Germans end up kidnapping Jack Whitehall. He gives them the location. And it has to be like the moon has to be in a certain spot. And that's the only time this tree is blooming. They figure it out. They
do some scuba diving.
The
Rock and Emily Blunt lock lips.
And it's just like I've seen so many movies where the kiss just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. You can tell. And I think it's pretty rare that a kiss works on screen for real. Like
The Rock is rarely ever romantic.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. That's the
He's
thing.
Almost never like he has the thing in San Andreas, but that's his
family,
ex-wife.
Right.
That makes sense. But he's never like had a romantic anything, and I wonder if he just can't do that.
I don't know, but I mean, to his credit, I think that works because then it's like, you know how movies just always force a romantic subplot. To his credit, his action movies don't, even when there is a female lead character usually. So I think it is just kind of weird seeing it, and also they have no chemistry in this movie.
Right.
So you're like,
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
So she drains the whole river. She goes down, and they're trying to uncover where this thing is, and so she has to go down there. She can't swim, which is kind of like, oh boy. But anyway, so she ends up doing it somehow, and then the Rock has to like go get air and bring it down to her, and
which I don't think that's how that works.
Administer it.
He's not just blowing carbon monoxide into her mouth.
Yeah, he also is dead, so if his heart doesn't pump, it
doesn't make any sense. When he did that, I was like, that's just dead air.
That's another one of those weird things where it's like, well, if you don't have a heart, do you have lungs still?
No.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, he shouldn't have any of it. Well, I don't know if he's dead as much as he's just
what
like
what works
cursed.
And what doesn't.
I don't know.
I think he's dead.
All right.
Like, kind of like a zombie. He's just he's a monster like them. There's not really any.
But he didn't get any of the, that's so stupid.
I know. He didn't. Well, he wasn't.
I guess he wasn't stuck in the hole.
He wasn't a bad guy, right? Like the chief, he never did anything wrong. He tried to stop them. So I think the chief spared him from that part of the curse.
Oh, you only get half the curse.
Yeah. So there's
one third of the curse.
There's Bumblebee Man, Snake Man is the main character.
Moss Man, Man at Arms.
What was the other guy?
Snake Guy.
No, Bumblebee
Snake
Guy.
Eyes.
Bumblebee Guy, Snake Guy, and there was it's just they're so forgettable.
Mud Man.
Mud Guy.
And then Tree Guy. Swamp
Thing. Mud Man.
Swamp Thing.
He used to do mornings on the point, right?
Yeah, they had Swamp Thing. They had Clayface. They had Snake Guy and Bee Guy.
Yeah. So Jesse Plemons shows back up with Jack Whitehall.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to kill everyone unless you take me to the thing. They take him to the thing. The moon shines on the trees. They bloom. And then they all start dying really quickly.
Yes. She runs in this. I mean, like, this was that. What's that? It's that one Pirates movie where he's, like, running on the the wheel. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought of this whole time. I was like, God, this looks like garbage.
So she gets the one last flower.
Right. And it's going to go one of two. Like, The Rock says, I don't want to live anymore. But then he just says, you could have been my reason for. I was so stupid.
It's really weird how he's like,
I quit, man. But but you're pretty hot, so I guess I'll stick around.
He's like, at this point, they both like each other. They've said romantic things. And then he's like, no, you go to your world. Yeah. I have no place there.
I have no place there, considering he's got an entire cabin full of like cars and all this other crap that he's never seen, that he wants to see. He's like, nah, I'm good.
So
also, I got to tell you, if Emily Blunt is saying, hey, I'd like you to come back to the real world with me. Okay.
He also didn't get to live his life. He's lived 400 crappy years.
Yeah.
Maybe he could actually live.
I know.
His life
I was thinking that too. I was like, I get like being ready to be done, but yeah, you never got to do anything. So
right.
You'd think
right.
You'd be like, okay, I'll do that.
I'll go check that
but
out.
But I also get that he's tired and the character seems tired. So, so he's like, I'm going to go.
Maybe he's a better actor than we gave him credit for.
So he's going to, you think he's pretty good.
No, he is.
So he's going to lead all Bumblebee Man and Snake Guy.
Bumblebee Tuna.
He's going to lead them all in a chase. And even though these guys like basically can't die, he's going to.
So what
make
he does
them
is
explode
he,
on
well,
the boat.
Well, no, what he does is he blocks the entryway
cuts
so
off
they
their
can't,
access
he
to the
cuts
river.
Off the access okay. to the river so when they get far enough away
so
the
get
rivers,
stoned again.
They get stoned
Got
again
it.
And then he gets stoned in the process. I haven't done that in a good long while, but maybe that would have made this movie more enjoyable if that was the state of mind I was in. So Emily Blunt has a choice. She has the flower. She
so her choice is that she could
save the world.
She could take this petal and invent medicines that would save hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Or
don't
she could,
worry, it's a vaccine. They won't take it.
Touche. Or she
half
could,
of them would.
Yeah. Or she could save this guy who's 400 years old.
That says he doesn't want to live
and
anymore.
Doesn't want to live anyway.
I know.
I'm give it to the guy.
The Rock has this problem. We've talked about it in San Andreas. We've talked about it in Rampage. This is that one person versus the world type thing.
Yeah.
And they always make the decision to save the one person,
right.
and not for the greater good, which I get that it's for their romance storyline.
But
it's so
dumb.
Absurd.
Yeah,
she
dumb.
Is a person.
She's a doctor.
She's a
doctor,
doctor trying to save the world.
And there's a good line, though, where she's like, you're a doctor. She's like, yeah, of botany.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she puts the petal in his mouth, and then they walk away, and you're just like, good God, give it another.
Of course the Rock's not going to
give
die.
It 20 freaking seconds. And all of a sudden, they like hear stone breaking or something.
And he rips his, like he's the Hulk, rips his way out of the.
He flexes
yeah,
out of
he
it.
Flexes real hard. Then we flash forward, and they're back in London, he's learning how to drive a car. Yeah. End of movie.
And I'm also just like, you know, Paul Giamatti is there and he's like, oh, I guess you do have the only boats around now.
But okay, so they do the to your point, to actually all of our points about they want this to be pirates. The end of this movie is the beginning of pirates, of the introduction of Jack Sparrow. They are on a boat that goes up to a dock and they walk off the boat into a boat that is sinking into the harbor. It's like, you went for it,
but that's
didn't you?
That's a fun. I mean, that's a funny moment though. That still plays, I think, but it follows a movie that doesn't
correct.
Work,
yeah,
and that's it. So they're
this is a
now they're in the real world. She brings them back to England. There's a motor car that he's driving around,
and she makes a car pun. And
she does,
they're off.
Yeah. And they're off to the races, for Jungle Cruise 2, maybe.
I don't know. Like, what did this more do? Like Jungle Snooze.
Hey, look at you.
More like all
nope. You get one.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Out of curiosity, though, before we end this episode, do we have numbers on this at all? Like, I'm just kind of curious as to what it did at the box office, because this was a Disney Plus
premier access
one as well.
Jungle Cruise heading to a $32 million theatrical opening.
All right. I guess that's the problem.
I don't even know if
that's good
but
anymore.
Black Widow did like 40-ish, I think.
Something
and
like
another
that.
40.
Or 60?
No, that was 40.
Okay.
That was 40 and 40. 40 on.
I got you.
But here's the thing. I think this movie will do better on Premier Access than Black Widow.
Oh, I think you might be right.
Okay, so I know everyone loves superheroes, not debating that at all, but this is definitely more targeted as a family kids movie than Black Widow that starts off with, you know, Nirvana and sex trafficking. You know what I mean? Like, it's a darker movie.
I did like the Sleepy Metallica cover in this song.
I know, right?
That was pretty good.
I thought the same thing. I was like, is this a Metallica? Is this Unforgiven?
It was Nothing Else Matters.
Yeah.
Was it?
I think so.
It sure sounded like a Metallica song, but
it was.
but because I thought it was Unforgiven. Like, but
so, you know, people, you know, couples are going to get this movie. Single, I mean, Black Widow, couples are going to see, single people that love MCU, whatever. But this movie, if you're going to order it at home, you know, two kids tickets is basically $30.
Yeah.
Especially when you add in concessions. So $30 for your whole family to watch it. I think this thing's going to do numbers.
Totally.
Yeah. We shall see. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month. You get bonus content and you help us out. And that's really nice of you.
It was nothing else, Pat.
Was it for real?
Okay.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Reed paid Rip to not promote the concert. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.